There's no scripture in the bulletin this morning, but we're going to look at Isaiah 43 and Ephesians chapter 6. Those are two of the bigger ones. And we've got a bunch of different scriptures, so that's why we didn't put them in. But just get along with the theme of graduation and that wonderful ceremony we just had where we brought the graduates down. And as we celebrate and congratulate our seniors, I can't help but think of just what a significant achievement, what a milestone in their life. And it's a journey that's taken, like we said, 13 or 14, maybe 15 years that you've been going to school since kindergarten. And I remember when I was going to be in kindergarten, I didn't go to preschool. Mom thought I was too smart for that. So she's laughing. I only said that because she's here. She's laughing. But I don't remember what I was wearing, but I remember standing out on the sidewalk by the well pump, and she would get out her big, you know, those big old cameras, and she would take a picture, and it was myself, my sister Alicia, and my oldest sister Jocelyn, and that was the first day of school, and we always took a picture. And then this big yellow school bus comes rumbling down the gravel road, and we get up on the bus for this 45 to 50 minute long, excruciating, hot ride to and from school. Man, I tell you, we suffered those years. And I just remember looking out the window of that bus and seeing Mom jumping up and down, clapping her hands. All right, one more to go. As you know, the majority of the lives of these students, and when you were in high school, the majority of your lives revolve around studying, right? You've got homework to do. You've got studying. You've got extracurricular activities you do if you do sports or drama or art or all those different things. And so you're busy. And you do it all for this many years, and then you end up with that little piece of paper that says, congratulations, you're done here, now get out, it's time for your next adventure. And maybe you're going to go on, and maybe our graduates are going to go do more schooling, maybe they're going to go to college, maybe a trade school, maybe they're going to get a job and start their first full-time job or start their career. But no matter what, you're done with high school. You're not going to go back to high school unless you're going to become a teacher or a bum and live out on the steps. You can't go back to high school. You're done. And no matter what you do, no matter what you do now, you're starting a new chapter, aren't you? Because if you can't go back to high school, you're going to start something new because you've been doing this for 14 years. You've been going to school. And I'm pretty sure, you know, when I was going into kindergarten, I was really nervous. But then as you get up to high school, you know, you're always kind of nervous when you get into high school. And when you're a freshman, you're kind of nervous when you're a sophomore. You get a little more accustomed. When you're a junior, you start thinking, hey, you know, this is going to be my school next year. And then when you're a senior, my mom's got her arms crossed like this. When you're a senior, you run that place, don't you, seniors? Yeah, you run that place because you know all the kids, you know all the teachers. There's not a whole lot that's new to you. You know the sports programs. You just know it by that new adventure. By the time you come to the end, it's kind of old hat, isn't it? And it's really old hat by the time you do those last finals. You're like, man, I am tired of tests. But then it's time to start a new adventure. And you know, whenever you start something new and whenever you end something, you've got different kinds of emotions and feelings. Maybe you're feeling sad. Maybe you're feeling excited. Maybe you're feeling a little bit cautious. You want to prepare yourself for this next thing. And all these emotions, they're all common. But the point isn't just for our graduates today. The point is that we've all been through these adventures, haven't we? We've all done something, whether you finished high school, no matter what, we all go through these periods in life where something ends and something new begins. And we'll look at them as adventures. Right now, we are all on an adventure because nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow specifically? I challenge you to raise your hand. Now, I think about some of the adventures. You know, there's school. When you get married, you know you're on an adventure. When you have kids, that's even more of an adventure, let me tell you. When you start your new job or your new career, that's a huge adventure right there. And you know, when you get married, I forgot to mention the in-laws. What an adventure! I'm just kidding. My in-laws are fine. But for some people, that's a pretty big adventure, isn't it? But no matter what you're starting next, it would make sense that you would want to prepare yourself as much as possible, right? For graduates who are starting their jobs or going to college, they're probably already thinking in their mind about this new thing. Okay, what's it going to be like? Kelsey's going to Iowa State. She's wondering about what her major is going to be like, the classes, what's life going to be like. You are going to Iowa State, right? Okay, I got that right. But she's already starting to try to prepare herself, aren't you? A little bit? Right. Okay, so no matter where you're starting out, it would make sense that you would want to be as prepared as possible. Now, what are some of the things that you would want to have if you know that you're going to start this new adventure, and you know it's going to be somewhere unknown? And there's a show that I like to watch, and it's called Survivor Man. Chandra knows this. And I'll go downstairs, and I'll let the boys play, and I'll watch Survivor Man. And it's this guy named Les, and what they do is they send him out on these really crazy, crazy experiences, and they'll send him up into the Alaskan tundra, or they'll send him out into the Serengeti in this Jeep, and he had to drive until it ran out of gas. And all he has are just a couple of things. No, he doesn't. He's got like maybe a power bar, and he's got to find food, he's got to find water, he's got to make shelter, he's got to do all these things, but he's prepared himself because they say he's got more knowledge than most guidebooks. And so he knows all of these things up in his mind, what to do, so he's mentally prepared himself. And I was thinking, what would, if I was going to be doing what he was going to be doing, and they actually let me take some things along on the journey, what would I want to take to help me be prepared? What would you want to take if you knew that you were going to go out into the Serengeti? Rick wants to take his phone. Oh, he's want to take his... Okay. Rick's going to take his multi-tool pliers. For me, I would want to take food because I've seen the stuff that this guy eats, and I don't want to eat any of that stuff. I mean, he's eating grubs, he's eating bugs. Some of the stuff is pretty good, but he's eating that, and he's digging out water out of the sand, out of the dirt, you know. And so I think I would probably like to take some food, maybe some rations. The second thing I'm thinking, the first thing that he does once he gets his surroundings is he makes some sort of protection. He usually has a knife or a tool like Rick has, and he'll tie it to the end of a stick, and he'll use that as a spear, or he'll cut down this little triangular throwing stick, as you know, because that's going to protect you from a bear. But he usually makes some sort of protection, so I think I would probably like to take some protection. I'm thinking probably a Bowie knife or a gun. Probably both. The third thing, I'm probably going to want a map or a GPS or a compass. Not Rick's GPS, but a good GPS. Because I want to know where I'm going, don't I? The fourth thing I think I would want to take is I would want to take a companion with me. Do you know that, okay, if you've got money and you go on vacation and say you go down to Florida and you want to go fishing in one of the straits or something, whatever's down there, you can hire a guide to take you out fishing, and he'll show you where the fish are, how to catch the fish, what type of fish you're fishing for. So I think I would like to take a guide with me or a companion, someone who can watch my back, I can watch his back, but he knows the territory. He knows what we're getting into, and so I can go for him for advice and know that I'm going to have a better outcome. I would want to take some sort of shelter, probably a tent, a sleeping bag. I'd want to take a first aid kit, because if you've been on Facebook and if you've seen the go-kart crash that happened last week, I tend to get hurt. So I would want to take a first aid kit. And then lastly, I would want to take the right clothes for the journey, wouldn't I? Because I look at this Survivor Man, and when he goes to the Alaskan tundra, he's wearing an Eskimo parka, and he's got stuff to make an igloo with. And when he goes out into the Serengeti, he's got a lot of sun protection and that sort of thing. So if I'm going to go on this adventure, like if I was going to go to college, I'd have to have the coolest new clothes out there so that I blended in with the atmosphere. And Kelsey's smiling. Joe's like, oh yeah, here's the credit card. But you would want to outfit yourself for the journey the best that you could, right? I think everybody is like that. And these are all good things that we mentioned to help keep me prepared. And you guys are thinking, you know, this is great, but I'm not Survivor Man. I don't want to do what he does. I'm probably not going to do that. I'm just going to college, or I'm just getting a job, or I'm just going into the Peace Corps, or I'm just taking over the family business. And you may look at those as things that are just kind of pretty safe or not as extreme as that. But the truth is that the Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, that we are to be as aliens living in a foreign land, aren't we? We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. And so as we're living, as we're journeying through this world as Christians, we're not supposed to let the world become part of us, right? Sounds a little bit more like one of those journeys. If you're in a foreign land, if you're an alien in a foreign land, so not only are you someplace you don't know, but you don't fit there. You're kind of separated, and people know it. So it sounds a little bit more like this awesome journey that you're probably going to want to prepare yourself with. But what makes this journey more dangerous is the consequences of going in this foreign land, the consequences of the adventure that you're on right now, living this life. It's not just whether or not you're hungry. It's not just whether or not you're eating bugs. The choices that we make here determine our eternity. Starting to get a little more dangerous, isn't it? Starting to get a little more one of those extreme situations. And we talked about those essentials that I would want to take on the journey. And yeah, I need those to stay alive, but on this adventure that I'm on right now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm experiencing spiritual warfare. And if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Christ, and if you are truly set apart, you will be experiencing spiritual warfare. Some of you may not even realize it when it happens. I know I don't always until after the fact. But on this adventure, I experienced spiritual warfare, and I think you do too. Or actually, I know you do if you're a follower of Christ. I'm having a hard time up here. And it sounds more dangerous now, doesn't it? That's because it is. See, here on earth, we have to be prepared in a whole different way than just our physical needs. But we need to be prepared for our spiritual needs as well. And I've got some scriptures here of what the Bible teaches us about being prepared. For food, we mentioned food. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that falls from the mouth of God." Have you been eating? Have you guys been soaking this up? This is the words that are falling from the mouth of God. Have you been eating? Or is your spirit starving? Are you starving yourself spiritually in this adventure that you're on? Talked about protection. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 3, what we had written in the Haley's Handbook, and I love this because no matter where you go, it talks about how God has called you. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you. I have called you by name, which means he knows you. It says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Talk about that protection. But if I'm going through this world, you know, yeah, maybe a knife or a gun could protect me from a person, but not from the advances of the devil, not from the advances of Satan. And he is alive in this world today, and there is spiritual warfare. So wouldn't it make more sense that you would want the protector who can actually deal with that sort of thing? We talked about a map or the proper GPS. And I think about Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And I think about that lamp. Not only do we have the right guide, but are we following it? It doesn't do you any good to have a compass if you're not going to follow it, right? If you've got a map and you're reading it upside down, or you're just not even looking at it. Because that lamp, God says it's at our feet. It's not a spotlight. It's not shining down the trail showing you what you're going to do down there, but it means that you follow it. As it moves, you move. If it goes to the right, you go to the right. If it goes to the left, you go to the right and left. And when it stops, I've gone to the right a couple times when it went left, and it was bad. And when it stops, you stop too. You'll be patient and you wait upon the Lord. So not only do we have this guide, this map, but are we using it? Are we using that lamp that's at our feet? And we talked about that companion, that guide who takes us and who knows the land and is watching out for you. And we read 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Is your heart loyal to your guide? Is your heart loyal to God? Because he will look to and fro and be strong on your behalf. And also we look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Once again, we have that protection. We have a faithful guide. Do you have Jesus in your heart? And do you keep God in your life? I love that God made me for him. You don't have to worry about the fit. You know, you can go down and you can get a guide for going fishing or something. He could be the most obnoxious person you've ever had, and you just can't stand him, but you're only putting up with it because you want to catch the fish. But with this guide, God made us for him. He is my companion, and I am his, specifically for each other. And then we get on to the clothing. You can turn into Ephesians chapter 6. We look at verses 10 through 18. Are you dressed right? You know, we talked about going into a situation. When you're going out into the Alaskan tundra, you probably don't want to be wearing shorts or a t-shirt. Or next year, if you go to the sunrise service at Easter, you don't want to just be wearing a suit. But you want coveralls and a blanket and probably some warmers and stick a lantern inside. And if you get real cold, you can light yourself on fire. But think about this clothing. Are we dressed right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So basically saying, when that day comes, you will be prepared if you put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. That sounds like a pretty cool outfit if you're going to go, like it says here, and be in a dark world. Because we are aliens in a foreign world. And not only is it a foreign world, but he says it's a dark world, and that's why we're not to be of it. But the world is going to try to trick you. Remember how we talked about last week? There's that gray area. There's the light, and then there's a line. Christians are to live in the light. You got the line, and then you've got the gray area of the world as it sucks you over to the black. And the gray area is on the black side of the line, but the world tries to get us to say, no, this gray is white. This is light. This is right. You can do this. And as you keep going, you get grayer and grayer and grayer until you're in the black. If we're going to be in this world, on this adventure, sounds like you should be suited up pretty good, right? Sounds like you should really heed these words. And finally, no matter where you go, what adventure you may be starting, finishing, or even only halfway there, I turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Graduates, no matter where you go from here, you can't go back to high school, but no matter where you go, do it as unto the Lord, because he created all good things. He created you, and he put you on this adventure. Keep these words in your hearts. Keep your Savior as your guide, and you will have a great adventure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message this morning, and we ask that you would just take us this week as we go and put these words in our heart, Father God, that we would remember them, that we would remember the world that we are in, how we are called to live as Christians, and how you outfit us for this journey that we're on, for this adventure, how you give us what we need. And it's ours for the taking, Father God. And I pray that everyone here today takes it as we go this week and continue on this adventure that we're on here in life. Amen.